Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. We all have so many different goals that we're going after, some of them financial, some of them spiritual, some of them we have goals for others that we'd like to help them accomplish, and we all have all these different things that we are heading after, and sometimes we think about making sacrifices. We go after one goal, but we give up something else. The classic example of people go after financial success to give up health in the first half of their life, and then using all their finances to restore their health in the second half of their life. So we sometimes find ourselves making these sacrifices where we give up important goals to pursue some of the other goals that we have. But there's a way that we can have all of these big goals that we are heading after, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We actually have a dynamic duo for this episode. So today's guests, they both founded Satori Prime together. They're visionaries, they're relentless dreamers, successful entrepreneurs, speakers, and life coaches. So this duo is actually, they're both brothers. So today's guests for episode 298 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, they are none other than Elon and Guy Ferdman. Elon and Guy, it is such a pleasure to have both of you on the show today.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, bro, have we ever been called the dynamic duo?
No, but I'll take that over ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm keeping that one, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, it is a pleasure to have both of you on the show, and it's always fun to do 2 people on the show. It's definitely something I don't do as often. I know you guys are packed quite the punch, so it's going to be quite an awesome show for everyone at home and driving. So before we really get into the deeper parts of the show, like how we can really pursue all these goals that we have for ourselves, can you two talk about why you decided to start Satori Prime and also the experience of doing it together?
Yeah, so I'll let Guy talk about the experience of doing it together. This is Elon. Our voice, by the way, sounds eerily similar, so you guys can play the guessing game as we go through this. But so why did we start Satori Prime? So I'm going to take you back a little bit. In about 2004, I started in commercial finance. I built a company with a partner of mine. We invested $500,000 and then grew that to $107 million in assets under management when all was said and done. 2008, you know, the markets collapsed. We actually did really, really well for another 2 years, and then we couldn't sustain. And so in 2010, right before I was about to turn 30, the following year, I lost everything. So I went from multiple 6 figures, $1 million house, car my dreams, traveling the world. Guy was working with me since 2006. So we were doing all this together, and literally lost everything, to the point that Guy sold his car, moved in with our parents. My house was in foreclosure. I had my first child on the way, and just went back to like below square one, just because we had been so accustomed to a certain lifestyle and everything was taken. Well, we lost everything, not everything was taken from us. And it's interesting the kind of questions that you ask yourself in these moments. Guy and I were lucky enough that we found personal development in 2003. So even during all these really, really trying times, the one thing that we could always rely on was the training that we received, mindset training that we received. And so we had been coaching people for free since about, I guess, around like mid-2005, something like that. So for about 5+ years, we'd been coaching thousands of people for free. Never once thought that it's something that we can make money from. And we both went our separate ways after we lost everything. Guy went into kind of the online marketing space, and I went into trying to consult in the medical space. And Guy just happened to help me with something, showing me some really cool things that he was doing online. And I was like, wow, this is really, really neat. And a few months later, he actually asked me to come on board. So at the time where we were both flat ass broke with not a penny to our name, Guy was like, hey, do you want to start a company together? And we did with a dream and a mission to impact the planet and transform human beings. And here we are. What is it? So that was 2011, June of 2011. So 7.5 years later, we took a lot of detours on the way, which I'm sure we'll talk about today. And now finally, about 2 years ago, we went back to the reason why we started Satori Prime, which was to coach, to be executive coaches, business coaches, life coaches, whatever, you know, people want to call it. We did a lot of marketing. We trained. We had a digital marketing agency in there. We trained. We were one of the top Facebook marketers in the world, created all sorts of info products. So we've done a lot, and it's been a beautiful, amazing journey.
That's a really interesting start. I'd like to hit that big, challenging, rough path you had earlier on. And I think some people, they have that kind of rough patch because the recession affected a lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
I don't remember it firsthand. I was only 10 when it really happened, but it's a theme that I've heard by doing more interviews. So how did you go from losing everything to, okay, let's start a business? Because that's like, there are some risks to that. And some people may think, let me just go back to a 9-to-5 where everything was safe. So can you talk a little bit about this? Like, let's start a business thing, even though we're broke at the time.
Yeah, I can kind of talk to that. So, I mean, like for me, you know, I came out of college being like a good Jewish boy. I came out with like a finance degree, an economics degree, and I thought that that's what I was supposed to be doing. And, you know, the company that Elon mentioned that we worked in together, we loved working there. It was like a family run company. We pretty much managed it with like our best friends. It was a fantastic time. And while I love the company, the industry certainly was not for me. It's like money tends to not bring out the best in people. And when you're spending 10, 12 hours a day, kind of being a bullshit barometer all day long, that it's tough to turn it off when you go home. So when that kind of ended, I knew that I didn't want to start building a book of business again in that industry. Like Elon mentioned, we had been in the personal development space for about 8 years at the time. We'd had experience coaching, you know, hundreds of people by that point in time in our lives, and really had a passion and a knack for the work. And it's just something that we always gravitated back towards, and not really with the scope or optics of making money with it, but genuinely from the love of sharing wisdom and watching people just take on their lives and transform them. So when it all ended, I was really looking for something that would light me up. And I realized that what I wanted to share in the way that I wanted to share it and the impact that I wanted to make, walking down Main Street and shaking hands just wasn't going to do it. So I started running these kind of like micro events in New York City at the time. And through those events, I just realized that I was really missing a mentor that would take me and teach me how to get online and share messages. And before having an online business was really like popular, there was very, very few organizations on the planet that were doing that. And I ended up really kind of by kismet on this mailing list of this kid that talks about pretty much the same type of marketing you hear now, you know, make money fast. I'm traveling the world and making money while I sleep. And that was like, you know, a pretty alluring idea at the time. Continues to be, I suppose. And I had about $400 in the bank cash. It cost $397 to get started with this organization. So I took that to mean that that was like the perfect thing. And of course, like every new entrepreneur, I thought I was going to be a millionaire in like 3 months. Let me just, you know, follow the formula and I'll get there. And obviously that panned out not to be true, at least not in that time frame. But the thing was, like, I found a real passion for the work. Like, I don't know about you, Mark, but like when I would get employment, my parents always seemed to have an issue with where I was getting employment. Like we'd always have these like long, arduous conversations about why was that the right job for me, whatever. And then I go and take this like giant risk, start building a business on my own, and my parents became like the most supportive people on planet Earth. And it was this kind of eye-opening moment. I remember asking them, I'm like, how come you guys don't have a problem with this? And they said, we've never seen you so passionate about anything. And if you're going to invest that much energy into something, you know, something has to happen. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it really just kind of changed my psychology and my approach to what I believe was possible. I think something that we often see, because we've trained so many startup entrepreneurs over the years, that you know, we kind of forget when we get a little bit older. I hesitate to call us adults because I've yet to meet an adult in my life. But I think we have this idea that we're just supposed to be good at things instantaneously. We forget that when we were kids, how many repetitions, you know, we took to really get good and compliant and you know, have wisdom when it came to certain things. And then you become an adult, you try something three times, you're not good at it. You assume, oh, I just must not have that talent. And that's just not the case. So I think the difference between working on something purely to make money and working on something because it's your heart's mission, patience is naturally much more there when you love what you're doing and you're not so attached to when and how the results are going to look. And certainly at that time in our lives, it really, really mattered. And it took us, I think, a few good years to get enough traction to really say that this is something that was sustainable. But I think we really looked at it as like a lifelong pursuit of just really wanting to share what we learned versus like having to make a buck or, you know, acquiring customers as quickly as possible. And we watched people do that over the years in unethical ways. And you know what? The truth is, I've never actually seen that last for somebody. Like it's a really nice high for a short period of time. But for me to build something ethically and with integrity and go to bed at night with your head on your pillow feeling proud was more important than building a company that just made a lot of money quickly.
Yeah, and it really comes down to the legacy that we really want to leave behind. And as like one of the great things about entrepreneurship, we really do get to have the ability to leave that legacy behind. And some people who, if they were in your situation, they may have not made that big investment right away, and they may have just held off on a big goal like starting that business for several years because, you know, some people feel like they have to feel safer at that 9-to-5.
Sure.
They feel like they have to do like some other sacrifices, like being there for the family and not having time to grow the business. So for people who feel like they have to sacrifice some of their goals for the sake of some of their bigger goals or things that they hold just a little more dear, what's your advice for those people so that they can be able to accomplish all of these big goals that they're after? Not every single thing that they think of, but like the ones that matter the most and actually be able to accomplish all of them.
Here's what a lot of the coaches or a lot of the clients that we work with tend to be people who have bought into some sort of idea that is pumped through media and marketing and all this kind of stuff that, you know, they're going to be happy when X, and that X could be, I land this successful job, I start making over six figures, I start making over seven figures, I buy and or sell a company, I buy this car, I buy this house, and they find themselves chasing this mythical dragon around the world. And then one day they wake up and they realize that they've checked off all these boxes and they're not happy. Because it doesn't matter what you try to fill that void with, you're not actually filling the void. You have that instant moment of happiness and then it's gone and then you're on to the next thing. And so what people tend to do, like a lot of people that want to start a business, is they've come to the point, and if you're listening, you're probably in this boat. You come to the point where it's like, yeah, I bought that. Now I realize that there has to be some other way, because if I have to keep doing this for the next 20, 30 years, I'm going to kill myself. Like, this is just not what life is supposed to be. And then you go into this next phase, which is like, okay, well, then what would I want to do? And people get stuck like, well, what am I passionate about and what do I want to do and this and that. And that's honestly, I think, what keeps people up at night the most. And I think the struggle that people have is they, instead of being in the present moment and just looking at, hey, what would make me happy right now? Like, what would move the needle an inch? most human beings, because that's the way the mind is programmed, will future pace. And they go out into the future like 3 years from now. And they'll think of all of these different things that they'll need to do to build the business and how it's going to look and who they need to hire. And like your mind will just spiral so fast into the future. And then what you find is in the actual moment, like right here, right now, you're already worried, anxious, and stressed about what if it doesn't work. And the second you're in that state, you just don't take action. And so people get paralyzed and they try to figure out all of these like solutions to problems that haven't even happened. But in the moment, they're paralyzed. And so I think one of the biggest mistakes is trying to have the whole plan. Because I have never met a single person that's created a year-long plan, let alone a three-year plan, that when they got to that year mark or three-year mark, their life and plan looked as they planned it. Generally, you take one step in a direction and the plan already goes out the window. Mike Tyson used to say, like, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. Business is like that. It's this unending journey of amazing circumstance, crazy circumstance, upsetting circumstances, frustrating circumstances, and you just can't plan for all of it. And so my tip for anyone is figure out right now, just ask yourself this very simple question. What right now would make me happy? What's one action that I could take right now that would make me happy and move me, start moving me in a different direction? And it could be as simple as buy a book, listen to this video, follow this mentor, go to some sort of meeting, whatever it might be, right? Just that one thing. Don't overthink things, because as soon as you get in there, you might go to a meeting to this organization that you thought like, oh my God, this is it. This is the business I want to build. And you go there and you're like, I hate these people. Like, I don't want to be around these people. Then what? Then you spend 3 months trying to come up with a perfect plan that the second you walk into that room, it's all gone. It really is like one foot follow the other. That there's that analogy, like climbing Mount Everest is simple, but it's not easy. Simple in the way that all you have to do is put one foot in front of the other, right? Easy, not that easy, because obviously you have to train for years and have equipment and blah, blah, blah. But like starting a business is also simple. You just got to take one action, then another action, then another action, then another action. And when you start moving down that path, the one action leads to the next. The perfect person comes along, the perfect mentor comes along, the perfect book or video or something. And we've all had that experience in our lives before where you're like, you kind of feel like you're in this stream and things are happening for you. Just people are terrified to get in the water.
Really interesting insights. I mean, I feel like a lot of people that do create this plan and they expect it to go perfectly. But if you spend so much time creating a plan, I mean, some plans, like, they literally fall apart a week in because of different things that happen. So, it's just a part of taking action and then planning as you go. And one of the things that I'm really interested in, you guys have coached a lot of different people. I'm sure you've seen some people hit these really big transformations. And when you see a big transformation, I'm wondering what exactly goes into that transformation? Like, how do transformations happen?
Oof. Okay. That's a broad sweeping question. I mean, look, in a lot of different ways, right? Because you have to assume that they're like, if you start looking at humans, like a very complicated machine, like evolution, what it's kind of leading to is more and more complex machinery. Even look at our own strife towards like AI, right? Like we're trying to create more and more complicated machines. So, you know, like humans have a lot of layers to them, and a lot of people are in different places. There are certainly maps for consciousness at this point in time. Like we have a lot more clarity than most people probably realize about what the evolutionary process, even spiritually, mentally, emotionally speaking, is. There are maps for this. You can look at like things like spiral dynamics. So it really varies on kind of where people are in that process. Some people really right now, you know, the most appropriate thing for them is to understand that they are not their mind, that there is this little voice inside their heads, and that the voice that's speaking thoughts to them is not their own thoughts. They're actually the observer of these thoughts. And that alone is a life-altering idea for some people because they're so run by what's in their head. For other people, that's super-duper clear. They realize they're the observer. What they're lacking right now is a connection between their mind and their body. The part that most people say, like your gut instincts or your intuition, has been completely cut off. They feel like their emotional range is extremely small, and really no matter what it is that they're doing in the mental landscape, they don't seem to be getting ahead, or like the core issues, like things that have been kind of bugging them their entire lives, while like certain things in their life, like the what how they can produce shifts, the way that they feel never truly shifts. And those people get to start looking at what it means to get back into the body, have an emotional IQ, actually connect to the greater intelligent energy that's in our universe, and really start pulling information from there. So, you know, it's a very broad question. I think with Elon and myself, we're not these kind of trainers where you come to us and you're like, hey, can you guys tell me what your methodology is and, you know, show me all your certifications? And I have this friend who's a really, really successful in the personal development space also. And she keeps posting about what's happening to the coaching industry and that you can go online and buy a coaching certificate for $25 and all these ridiculous things. You know, for us, it's been like experience is everything. And when you come work with Elon and myself, I don't have a 5-step formula for you because I don't believe that any human being gets to have the same formula to get to where they want to get going. When you come to it with us, it's like we've been doing this dance for a really, really long time. So if you want to like learn how to be a good dancer, right, like you're going to go grab somebody who's been doing, you know, performing for a very long time. And they can just kind of, when they're with you, with your energy, with watching the way that your body moves, start training you on how it is to move in a similar fashion. But here's the thing. If I give you like steps, I'm like, all right, you're going to count 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to look at your feet. When you're at the student phase, you're going to be in your head and you're going to be watching a lot and you're going to be unsure. You're going to eventually progress to what we call a practitioner state where you start feeling more comfortable. Right. And you maybe you're still counting, but now you're actually looking at your partner's eyes. And eventually you get to the point where you're mastering it, right? Where you're doing the dance. And it's like now you're doing this dance, not like the way that I do the dance. You're doing the way that you're doing the dance the way that you're doing the dance, right? Like nobody dances quite the same way. So for me, it's like masterful is where you help people kind of transpose their views with you, but you always give them back their power. I'm very concerned with people who train, you know, figures of heads of different companies or organizations where people get kind of addicted to the person because they're constantly giving away all the power to this person as in like this, like heal me, save me type of mentality versus truly giving people the tools to heal themselves, love themselves, feel their self-worth, find connection, and really go back to a state that makes them feel like they're in well-being. And I think Elon and I have become pretty proficient at helping people find those states of well-being. And from there, it's really like, you know, until the system is in well-being, the capacity of the system to go out and achieve in a way that's in alignment with who you are is minimalized greatly. So those are the kind of things that we really focus on is getting people to that state of well-being, then looking at, okay, now from here, you know, how do we get to grow and build and help you manifest the life that you really want?
And you bring up a really interesting point where people have different ways of developing, of improving. And the 5-step formula that may be good for one person may not be good for the other person. So we really have to find our own way to achieve that transformation. But a lot of it does come down to mindset and things like that that really allow us to be in the right frame of mind to take the right approach as we go into the thing that we're trying to achieve the transformation in. So definitely really great insights. And just another general question, because I feel like this one may be a little easier to determine, although people still have some of their things that make them unique. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what you believe holds most people back from being able to achieve their biggest goals.
It's interesting because I'm going to actually tie your previous question and what Guy was talking about to this one. And I think it's time pertinent because obviously we're coming here to the end of the year. And this is a time that everyone goes into goal setting mode, right? So speaking about, you know, that concept of like there isn't this one size fits all model. So most of goal setting, right, there's things like SMART goals and where you set a very specific measurable result and you create a timeline and things like that. And so many people try them and they fail. Then there's things like, you know, people will do hypnosis at night, or they'll do affirmations in the morning, and they'll do all these things that everyone's telling them will work, and they don't. And that's not to say that the thing itself does not work. It's to say that something in your system, the way that you're programmed and the way that you're hardwired, doesn't work for you. So let's just look at a goal setting for as an example, right, of producing results. So what tends to happen, and this ties into your question, Mark, like what tends to happen, and the reason people aren't producing the results, it simply is because they're not in alignment to receive those results. And if you've ever noticed, when people aren't producing results, what do we tend to do? We do a lot more. We run here, we run there. Someone says, okay, you should try this, and you run there and you do that thing and it doesn't work. And it's like, okay, it's not that. Okay, well, let me run over here. And you end up running like a chicken with your head cut off. And the faster you run and the more you do is not actually producing any more results for you. And then you get disappointed and frustrated, and most people give up. And that's kind of the lay of the land for most entrepreneurs.
I mean, that's something that makes a lot of sense. I mean, when we have, like, I really like that results part because I feel like that's something that is new to me. I have not really heard that one before, but it makes a lot of sense where if we don't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, we just think, okay, if we just put in more time,
yep,
if we do this different thing, while there are just some times where we just do the same thing slightly differently, or we just give it a few more weeks or a few more months, and then we get the results. So definitely something very interesting to think about what kind of work you're doing, what you're adding on, and if that really helps you, or if that's just a way, okay, now I feel busy, that I feel productive. So since I feel this way, I should be getting the goal, but it's really great to think, take some time to pause, not run like a chicken with his head cut off. And really take that distant view and really see if what you're doing matters.
Yeah, so let me take this even a step further, right? So like someone says this year, this coming year, okay, I want to generate $50,000 a month, okay? And at the moment, they're maybe generating $3,000 a month. And so they create this big audacious goal that people will tell you like, go create this big audacious goal. And they do it and they get really excited. But the problem is that internally, they're not excited. Internally, they're scared shitless. Because internally, the system goes, how the fuck are we going to do that? Like, how? We can't do that. And so what happens is you now snap yourself out of alignment. And if it feels like a lie to your system, whether it comes to losing weight, whether it comes to creating, you know, relationships, intimate relationships, like finding your soulmate, whether it creates to business partnerships or generating money, if it feels like a lie internally, it doesn't matter how hard you push or how hard you work or what 97,000 things you're going to do in 2019, you're not going to achieve that goal. Because your inner, you know, T. Harv Eker called it like the thermostat for your financial situation. Your inner thermostat for love, for health, for money is set at a certain program. And there's no amount of doing that you're going to be able to undo that. The only way to reprogram it is to actually go internal and to start dealing with things like your I'm not worthy conversations or I'm not enough conversations. The things that are pre-programmed to have you produce certain results. And so instead of creating all these things, I want to just offer people here a different take on creating goals for 2019. And I want to offer this opportunity, I guess. I think most people would agree that when you're feeling really, really good, when you're feeling inspired, when you're feeling in love, when you're feeling passion, great things are happening in your life. Would you agree, Mark?
Definitely.
Okay. Now, would you also agree that when you're depressed, feeling anxious, feeling stressed, down on yourself, that typically there's what people call that spiral effect where more and more bad stuff keeps happening to you?
Oh yeah, that's definitely true.
Right? Now, here's the thing. People are like, okay, well, I'm just going to work my way out of this. I'm going to just work harder. I'm going to just do this. But the problem is that you're energistically stuck in like a black hole that's spiraling down, which can only create and attract to you things that are now in alignment with that energy frequency that you're in. And so you run around and you run around, hoping for this one day, this miracle is going to happen and your whole life is going to turn around. And it doesn't. Whereas, you know, if you feel good, then good things are going to happen, right? So like we're kind of on that same page. So my whole thing is like, instead of focusing on the goals, instead of focusing like I'm going to do this and then having anxiety and overwhelm and stress and cortisol and all these negative things happening in your system that you don't want to happen to produce great results. If instead of that, you were like, how do every day I get to feel more love, I get to feel more passion, I get to feel more fulfillment, I get to feel more in service of others, I get to feel more whole, like complete as an individual. If your focus was on doing that, it would lead to amazing things showing up in your life, because now you're in a completely different energetic space that allows for you to receive things way beyond what your puny little human mind could even come up with to write on a goal sheet. Things that utterly surprise you and shock you. What people call like magic. That's what's accessible to human beings. But that work is very different than the do work that everyone kind of talks about and preaches. And that's why, like, the people that we work with, you know, 30 days in, they're like, I don't understand how this stuff is happening. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You don't need to understand. Just it's working, right? Great. You know, like, keep feeling that and let's see what keeps showing up. Otherwise, you're just – the doing is very linear. The – feeling and allowing and receiving is like the kind of results that people just go from black to white, where it's like my health was in the toilet and now I just lost 60 pounds. My relationship was crap and now the woman in my dreams showed up. I couldn't understand what to do with my business and then the perfect partner showed up. Like, that's the kind of results that we're after.
And I mean, it's really great that we went further on that, because we've got this, we have a mentality, we have a workaholic mentality where, well, like, it's a badge of honor to say that you only got X hours of sleep, like a really low number. It's a badge of honor to say I worked 12 hours, 14 hours. But in the end, like, there is time when you're by yourself and really thinking about your life and really thinking about your work and some of the decisions. And maybe you boast about being a workaholic, but that may not necessarily be how you feel when you're by yourself. It's just a way to brag in front of others. So definitely a really awesome insight about how do may not be the best option, especially if you have this negative energy already, which can really expand. You could expand the negative energy by doing new things without thinking about that negative energy, turning it into positive energy, taking that necessary step to make that happen. And I mean, you two really know your stuff. I mean, I know that you've coached a lot of people. I know you've helped a lot of people. But for you two on a personal level, what would you say are some of the habits that have been essential for your respective successes, being able to go from rock bottom to where you are now and everything else in your journey?
Yeah, that's an important question for sure. And again, like, you know, no one size fits all here. I think a morning and nighttime routine has certainly helped a lot. I mean, my morning routine is roughly 2 hours. I ease into my day, where when I was like a younger entrepreneur, I had that mentality too, you know, like 16-hour days, let's grind it out. And just to kind of, you know, just add a little bit to that, when Elon and I sat back after about 4 or 5 years of doing that, and I had to ask myself a really honest question. And I said, could I correlate the growth of our business to me working harder or more? And the honest answer was I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. And what I found over time, certainly more true, and it's like, you know, what I like about certain truths, right? Truths change over time. But the ones that last, grow, and expand seem to be the ones that are truer, so to speak, at least for me personally. And what I found over time is that the quality of the energy when the work was being done was the top thing I could correlate to results. So I wanted to investigate what it would mean to spend or invest as much time of my day in that energy as possible. You could call that a flow state if you want, but I think flow states They're fleeting unless you're willing to do some pretty extreme things, you know, like extreme sports, ayahuasca, things like that. And certainly there are ways to hack flow states, but in the way that most people think about flow states, you know, most of us are not in there. But, you know, alignment, like I rather use that word than flow state because I think it's much more achievable. So for me, it's like meditation was one of the top key things. I know that gets thrown around a lot. And I think in the beginning, a lot of people use it as a tool to quiet the mind. I would offer that even greater as you go down that path, you find it's a tool to actually heal the inner workings of the system so that the system is in alignment because you're much more in the parasympathetic. Thank you. Parasympathetic part of the nervous system so that you're feeling it, like I said, at ease and well-being throughout the day. So for me, it's like, you know, obviously, like I said, meditation in the morning, reading, stretching my body, not just waking up and being like, oh, shit, I got to get on the call in 15 minutes and that be the way that I start my day, or turn over and look at my phone and start being stressed out about, oh, shit, I got to get back to this emails or my calendar. So I've really given myself that space. And then same thing at night, kind of like easing myself into the nighttime routine with meditation and reading and things that really like wind down the clock versus wind me up. What I find is that the momentum of that, you know, when the next day starts and again, you're relaxed going into your day, you don't have this, what we're calling the chicken with the head cut off type of thing. Because for me, it's like that energy is coming from scarcity. And again, like Elon and I did that for many, many years. We produced great results in that. But if the only measurement of success that we're saying is important is money, and for a lot of people, they think that's what it is. Trust me, we've made millions of dollars. We have friends that we spend a lot of time with that have made a lot of money over the years. And when they get there, a lot of times it's probably the lowest point of their life because they realize that they've now achieved everything that they thought they were supposed to, and yet they are no closer to being happy, feeling connected, having joy in their life, love in their life, or being healthy or having meaningful relationships. And they get there and they're usually sobbing in tears and asking, like, what do I do now? And what was missing was that internal connection, that like actually coming back to yourself and feeling that inner worth and feeling that inner love, so that the actions that you take from that space are no longer coming from, I need to fix something, or fix the scarcity, or try to make myself feel peaceful. You're already in that state. And so you start taking actions that are a lot more consistent with not trying to fix something in this world, but really trying to create something in this world. So for me, like if people are like, well, how do I start with meditation? Cool. I mean, there's, you know, certainly apps like Calm, or I think Elon uses Insight Timer, that I think are great starting points. But if you really want to get yourself, I think, on a path to anything in a profound way, then go do some kind of intense training. And I highly recommend doing like a 10-day silent meditation sit. They're free. You can go to dhamma.org and do a Vipassana sit for 10 days. That is going to give you an insight into a world that most people only dream about. You know, and what you do with that once you have it is up to you. But those are some of the main things that I think are profound. And obviously like nutrition and getting good sleep and things like that. But you know, those will make a huge difference for people.
Well, those are certainly some really awesome habits for us to have. I mean, I really like the looking at what actions really correlate to successes. So those are definitely some really good ones.
Mm-hmm. Broski, anything you want to add to that?
Again, I'm a big believer, like, not in having a fixed routine. Guy and I both have changed and altered our morning routines for a long, long time, and it's been many, many iterations. I think, again, back to what I was saying earlier, I think when you're in alignment, things find you versus you find it. You know, that famous saying, like, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, the teacher can be a book, the teacher can be a video, the teacher can be a mentor, the teacher can be many, many things. And so I think the more you start down that path, so like I'll tell you something that I picked up recently. I went on a yoga retreat with my wife for our 10-year anniversary, and unexpectedly, we practice a different kind of yoga called yin yoga, which I'd never, ever done. And ever since then, I came home. I was like, oh, I really, really like this. And now I've incorporated that into my morning meditation. So that's what I do for my morning meditation. You know, 5 years ago, if you would have told me about yin yoga, like it would have went in one ear and out the other. But it was just, I was ready for that. So I kind of like called that into my existence. And then that's what I practiced. And then the other thing is like, just check in with yourself. If what you're doing feels forced, if what you're doing feels manipulated, if what you're doing feels like sacrifice, that is not the energy you want to be creating anything from. So always go to like, does this make me feel good? Because if it makes you feel good, chances are it's going to be producing excellent results. And then if you focus more on, wow, this really makes me feel good, like for certain people, meditation, right? I've meditated every day for over 3 years. Like it's unacceptable for me to miss a day because I just know how that makes me feel, right? Being with my kids, like playing with my kids every single day that I'm home, that's really important to me. That makes me feel really, really good. Spending time with my wife, that makes me feel really, really good. Like I choose to do things that make me feel good. And in turn, instead of just focusing on work all the time, your energy creates more results than you would ever imagine. And so, yeah, whether it's a morning routine, an afternoon routine or something, but like focus on the things that make you feel good and just keep checking in over time. You know, there's certain things that I started that used to feel good. And then now I check in and I'm like, you know what, that doesn't really feel good anymore. Or I kind of like struggling to do this, or I'm forcing myself to do it. And I'm like, I'm done with that. Moving on.
That's a really great goal to have, you prioritize spending time with your children. Definitely, I'd recommend everyone have that goal if they are in a situation to have that goal. But again, like a lot of great habits from both of you that if we do apply them are really going to make a big difference in our personal lives and our professional lives and all the goals that we're going after. And another big habit, this is one of my big habits, I really like to read as many books as possible. So
yes.
I'm wondering if each of you can give at least one book recommendation. Normally for a solo, I ask for three recommendations. So I don't know how you two want to tackle that. As long as we get good book recommendations.
Yeah, I think from the spiritual side of things, Untethered Soul by Michael Singer is certainly a top read. If you're engaged and interested in the type of conversation that we're having right now, there's a book called The Presence Process, which is not just a book, but a 10-week long process that you can go through. Very simple process, but it's super, super powerful, especially if you're interested in manifestation, finding your inner alignment, and really just getting like an energetic connection to greater intelligence and how it is that you can use that to like bring through wisdom. That's a really, really profound book in my opinion. And I'm trying to think about something recently that's made a big impression on me. Bro, why don't you chime in and I'll give it a think for real quick.
Yeah, so I agree. Michael Singer, Untethered Soul, and his other one, Surrender Experiment, are some of my favorites. I'm like you, Mark. I'm obsessed with reading. And by the way, this is something that came very, very late to me in my development. So I didn't really start reading like this since I was till I was probably like 32, 33. So only in the last like 4 or 5 years. So that one's been really, really great. I also really enjoyed Stuart Wilde, Infinite Self, I think is a great book. And then for those people who are specifically either starting a business or it's like a business / parenting book, I'll say it's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. It's the Mindset Psychology of Success. And it's one of the books that I give to every person that becomes a parent or an entrepreneur. It's just that good.
Well, thank you both for those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes for listeners, whether you're listening in the car or at home. MarkBirdie.com/E298 is that link. We'll throw in content marketing secrets in there. Anyone who wants to drive revenue and get more traffic. And before we wrap up this episode, I've asked the both of you several questions, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Or I got one, or you want me to go first?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just kind of to what I was saying right before, you know, what right now, not in the future, not 10 years, just right now, what would make me happy? And what would be that one action that you can take that would make me happy? Inch by inch is a cinch. Yard by yard is hard. The farther out you think, the more difficult this becomes. Life does not need to be difficult. Life can be effortless. Life can be easy. Asking yourself questions like, what would make me happy? How can I live a more effortless, easy, flowing life? The better the questions you ask, the better your life will be. Most people ask crappy questions. And so the answers aren't even worth finding because they just lead you to more crap. So just in general, like, notice the quality of your questions, but like the simplest, easiest ones, like, right now, what would make me happy? And again, I'm not talking about, like, obviously this is with the concept that I'm talking to high level individuals where you're not going to hurt people and that makes you happy. Like, so just a little caveat there.
Yeah. I think a great question to ask is, how can I serve? I find there's a direct correlation between people's overall fulfillment and joy in their life and them feeling like they're giving back or that they're useful in some way. I think people who are self-serving, and certainly there's a time and a space to be self-serving, to like fill up your own cup before you give. But even before you have it, you know, whatever it is for you, whether it's money or time or something else, you know, give what you can. I find that people have this belief that when I have money, I will. But for me, it's like money is just an energy. You know, we've attributed some numbers to it to try to quantify this energy. But overall, it's just energy. And that energy is an energy that magnifies your characteristics. So if you're kind of, you know, somebody who withholds when you have money, you'll just withhold more. When you're generous now, you'll find that you're even more generous once you have money. And I think it's just a great way for people to really absolve themselves a lot of the crap that they carry around and really find out what they're made out of, who they are, and how it is that they get to contribute, because we are part of a whole. And, you know, there's a reason when we put people in solitary confinement that they lose their shit. Humans aren't meant to be alone. They're meant to feel connected. And there's something really important about giving back to other people that helps us find our true essence.
Elon and Guy, thank you so much for sharing your great questions and all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about this duo, they have a podcast that they host, the Have It All Podcast. Definitely, if you want to keep in touch with them and learn more from them, that is a great place to go. They also have a monthly coaching group called The Collective. Where exactly should we go if we want to learn more about that?
Bruce, you go ahead. Yeah, you guys can head over to satoriprime.com. That's SATORIPRIME.com/collective. And all the information is there. And if you need anything from us at all, please do not hesitate to contact Elon or myself personally.
Thank you both for sharing all of your resources with us, all of your great insights with us in this episode. It was such a pleasure to have you both on Breakthrough Success.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much, brother.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.